Mabel Handham's life story. This is the second day of the taping.
Talk, you talk right in here.
Right into the old and new.
Right. Now remember, your last words were, you left Greenwich Village, you left your uncle, and a new world, you went into the subway, and you came out, and a new world was going to begin.
A new world.
Sit closer here.
Later I learned it was Grove Street.
In where?
I didn't know it was Jersey City at the time. And I didn't know where to go. Then I began to wonder what I was going to say. What would I say?
And how old were you again, tell us? How old were you?
Going on 8.
8 years old.
Yeah. That's why I tell children, you don't let children hear anything, know anything. Because if you do, they can put you up against the cross. So, well, I went to school. I don't know whether I was in the fifth or sixth grade, but I went to school, and I could read and write. So, I began to walk. Now, the description of where I walk, that was Grove Street. To get to where I was, I had to walk 20 blocks or more. I seen the people walking, white people. I looked at them, seen a few colored people, white people. And I came to a hospital, which later I found out what the Jersey City Hospital was. I walked past that and I kept walking, seeing a couple of cops and things. I wouldn't ask nobody anything. I kept walking, walking. I must have walked about an hour. When all of a sudden, it was a straight walk, straight going on down the street. I didn't turn no corners or nothing. When I heard a noise and I looked to my left. Yes, that was on the left-hand side of the street. And there I seen children in a playground. The children all was between the ages of 7, 8, and 10, as I figured out later. And they were playing, and I didn't have any time to play. I didn't know what to do. So I goes in, I sits down on something like a bench or something. I sat there a few minutes, and then I got up and went over to where one white girl was swinging. And she said, "You want to swing?" I said, "Yes." So she says, she put me in the swing, and I swung, she pushed me. So I said to myself, "She's nice." So she came over to me, she says, "Where do you live at?" I says, "I don't know right now, because my aunt brought me here and told me to stay here until she come back." "Yeah, all right." So she pushed me. Well, time was going fast. I don't know what time it was. Maybe that was time school was. School had to be out because that's what I came from. So I remembered that. So all of a sudden she says to me, she says, "Your aunt hasn't come back yet?" I says, "No." She told me, "Wait here for." She says, "We'll give her a little more time." She says, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Uh-huh." So she says, call her brother. I think it was her brother. She called him Tony. I think his name was Tony. So she says, "Listen, we've got to get this kid to her, find her aunt, and take her home." So he says, "All right." What must I do? She says, "I'm going home. It's getting cloudy. It's getting dark." See, that was must have been after 6 o'clock. So she says, "I'll go home and get something to put on her and a sandwich, and you go after the cop." And I heard the word cup. I didn't like that idea. Not that I knew anything about them too much, but I knew it wasn't, and I didn't want to be no law. So she says, "You sit here on this bench until I come back." I said, "All right." So when she left, the boy went in one direction and she went in the other. I gets up out of the seat and go and look, and right standing on the corner. You know how the corner is. Mm-hmm. Street going that way, street going that way, street going that way, street going that way. Lots of red there, just like we was you with you today. I stood there and waited for the them to come back. I waited and I waited and I waited, and finally someone touched me. She says, "I'm back." I was so happy. She had in her hand a big sandwich and a cape, Red Riding Hood cape, with a, what do you call them things on to you?
A hood.
With a hood on it, and it was red, and didn't I love it? And she put it around me and put the hood on my head. And then she says, "Now here's your sandwich." She says, "I don't see my brother with the cop yet." I said to myself, "I hope to God he doesn't come." We looks down the street and here come brother. Brother was about a block from us. So in the meantime, she turned around. She says, "Here I brought a lady who says, who she don't know you, but she will take you home until it's time for your aunt, and they will look for your aunt." I says, "All right." So this woman was a little bit taller. She was taller than me, see. And she says, "What's your name?" I says, "Mabel." He says, "Mabel, do you know where you're at?" I says, "No." She says, "You're in Jersey City." I says, "Yes, I don't know Jersey City." She said, "How do you come here?" I says, "My aunt brought me here. She told me to sit here until she came back." "All right," she says, "come on, because it's getting late." And I just left my boyfriend in the bar. She drank a lot.
Was she white or black?
Black. So she says, "Come on, I'll take her home to mother." So they live, now she lived on Fifth Street. That was 7 or 8. And somewhere going into Grove Street, somewhere around in there. I didn't find those things. So she says, "Come on now." I turned and looked. I'm thinking that boy in the cop, I could see them. So I says, "All right. I know when to talk and when to shut up." So she took me by the hand. She says, "Come on." And thanked the girl. The girl kissed me. Goodbye. She says, I'll tell the cop the lady's got you. It's all right. She says, "Cause the cop will think that lady's your aunt, and I don't know what to tell him. I'm sorry, you tell him that." It's all right. So I go on with this woman. We walked. She cut through streets like we were doing the park this morning. And she held me by the hand. She was a trifle bit taller than me. She must have been a woman now. She had to be around 5'6", something like that. Because I haven't grown, see. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she took me and we walked and we walked and walked and walked and walked and walked. Then we walk and walk and walk some more. Then we come turn into another street, and all was private houses. All nice private houses. So she says, "Well, here's my mother." And she opened the gate, and we went up a flight of stairs. There was the porch. And she says, "Mama, I got an offering here for you."
We have to stop because...
Open the gate. We went up a flight of stairs and was on a porch. And she says, "My name is Bessie." So I said, "Miss Bessie?" She says, "Yes." She looked at me and smiled. She was a little bit taller. She was a little taller than me, but not too much. So I looked at her. I says to myself, "Gee, she's good looking." Say to myself. So she says, "Mama, I brought you a little lost girl. You have to take care of her because I'm going back." She was going back to her boyfriend, to her boyfriend or something. Mama says, "You don't stay home no time." She says, "That's okay, I'll be back." So she went on back downstairs, and Mother took me by the hand and led me in. She says, "You're a big girl." I said, "Yes, ma'am." In the room sat a gray-haired man and another girl, lighter than all of us. So Mother says, "Miss White," she says, "My name is Ellen White." I said, "Oh, Miss White." She said, "Who learned you how to talk?" "It's my aunt. I go to school. I said, "I go to school." So she said, "That's very nice." She said, "Are you hungry?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I ate the sandwich the girl gave me. So she scrambled some eggs and had some biscuits. And I think she had bacon or something. She said, told me to sit down at the table. I sat down at the table. She said, "Just like you said, watching me." And I bowed my head, said my grace. So she turned to the man. She says, "Papa." So she called him. She says, "Papa, this girl has had some bringing up." So he says, "Yeah." I didn't like him at all. Well, I didn't look at him. I just said nothing. She turned to the girl, the light girl, sitting at the other end of the table. She says, "Ellen, here's a girl that's going to be with us for a while until I can find her people." To me, I said to myself, "You'll never find them." I dropped my head and ate my thing. Ellen says, "Mama, she can sleep with me." I said to myself, "That's good. I like her. Good looking, great balls of fire. I have her picture. And she's tall, light brown skin. She had, her hair was longer than mine because she had it all up in a turn around like that." So she got up and she says, "When you get through eating, I'll take you to the bathroom. You can come with me to my bed." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So she's named after her mother. So she said, "Mommy, I'm going in the room." Now there, the situation of their house was different. It's just like an ordinary house today. There was rooms upstairs, and rooms downstairs. You come out on the porch from the kitchen, stove, everything, table, dining room, everything. So after I got through eating, Miss White took me, she took me to the bathroom, gave me a towel and things. Wash. I still didn't cry. Say, "Mom, isn't there a stubborn woman?" So she washed my face and washed my hands. She gave me went in there and got a little nightie from Ellen, brought it out, put it on, put shoes on, and I know she searched my clothes to find out who I was, where I come from. She couldn't do it. See, because I left everything behind me. I didn't leave it in the park. I left it on the train, the papers and things I had. So she says, we'll look for your people tomorrow. Well, I knew the description I give them, they would never find them. I told her that my uncle, that I live with my uncle, and he was a minister, and that they went shopping, came here and went shopping, and told me to set in the park till they come back. Well, I had to remember that story, because that story had carried me half through life. So she says, all right. Now, he goes, she carried me into Ellen's room, she combed my hair. Had a lot of hair on my head, and she rolled it up. So she says, okay, we'll say our prayers. I said my prayer. And I know she watched me like a hawk watching a little chicken. See, because to be a kid and so smart, where did she come from? So, let's sleep. So we got in the bed, she took me in her arms and held me, and I fell off to sleep.
How old was she, Ellen?
She must have been about 19 or 20.
Oh, she was much older than you.
Yes, much older than me. And then she held me in her arms, held me tight. And oh, I was so comfortable, girl, I slip up a breeze. So, next morning we got up. And mother told her, now we got to start inquiring about this kid. We can't keep her. That's wrong, but we'll have to send her to school. Like him. He was the first one to ram his hand up my dress, feeling my pussy, and I told Ellen.
When did that happen?
Well, that happened about 6 months or 7 months later.
Okay, go back to the second day, and then we'll bring it up to date. But go back to the second day, and then we'll do
second
like
day.
A few years.
Okay, so next door to us was, next door to this house was, Italian people. Everything around them was white and Italians. And Mama called an Italian friend and told them they'd all gone sent out a searching party looking for this woman. They couldn't find the woman because I didn't give them the description of where I lived at. See. So, sure. She says, you don't remember the place? I says, no. But I knew where I come from. I knew every part about me. So, because I know my uncle would kill me if I ever told him that he was trying to mess with me. See, he'd kill him. He's nasty. If he killed that white man, you know he'd kill a nigger. Mm. So, that's why I wouldn't tell it. I was just old enough to have good sense. Whenever they spoke to me, I had a word for them. So, 2 days passed, 3 days, nothing. They went to the churches, nobody said anything about missing a girl. They ain't thought about New York now. They ain't figured nothing about New York. They figure I come from Jersey, in of Jersey. So I just let them think that. So until then, Ellen said, Mama, we'll put her in school. Maybe by the end of the year, somebody does. So they signed me up in school. And what they told the teacher there, I don't know, but that was Monmouth and Cole. Monmouth Street and Cole Street. It was 32. I think the number of school was 32. I got along with all the kids and everybody. I didn't try to beat up nobody because I was too scared. See?
Was it black and white students too? Then?
Yes, in Jersey City it was black and white. So we didn't have to worry anything about me hitting somebody because we all was the same. And then I went to Sunday school and I played with the kids and Italian boys and girls. They were very nice to me. Naturally, Italian boys, they want to get a little bit, you know. They would run me ragged. The new girl, to hell. I'd fight them, you know. That was the end of that. So that all went for a whole year.
Did you ever get lonely, Mabel, or cry, or feel sorry for
yourself? I was too stubborn to do anything. I didn't even tell Ellen. See, Ellen was the first woman that kissed me. I didn't tell her.
About where you'd come from?
Where I come from, or nothing. Nobody knew where I come from but Mabel.
How did you feel, like the other kids had family, you know, they live with mothers or fathers. How did that make you feel? Did you feel
Miss
like an orphan?
White? No. Oh, and Miss White said that maybe my aunt and uncle wanted to get rid of me. And that was a good way to do it. After a year, see. And they read the papers and something. They didn't say nothing about no missing paper. Many years later, I discovered that he said he'd look for me. He ain't looked nothing. He didn't want me. See, all they wanted was the money and what was brought to them. So that comes in another part of the story together. So then Papa, he started. They showed me how to do work and different things, you know.
What kind of work?
Housework, see. And showed me how to cook and like that. See, nobody showed me those things. Well, and Ellen was there. Ellen was going with another fellow named Benny Harris. And he was a light fellow. He was good looking. And he would take me to little parks and playgrounds and things like that. So there's a pause in there where Ellen, Benny wanted to marry Ellen. Ellen didn't want him. His mother wanted her son to marry Ellen. Of course, she said Ellen was a good girl. Ellen was gay, now that I know it. She was. So, she would, every night I slept in her arms, see. And anything happened during the day, I would tell her. So she had a girlfriend that lived at the end of the street, and they were in private houses. Everything was private houses. And found out later, she told this girl she loved me, and she wished I'd belonged to her. This man, he told Lola, they were talking one night, and he and his mother and him sat down to talk to Ellen's mother. Ellen was out up to other girlfriend's house, and I was in there. And the mother told her if Benny can't marry Ellen, nobody else will. I'll see to that. They've been friends going to school, see, the mothers. So she says, I'll see that she don't marry nobody else. Well, Ellen's mother began to cry. She said, why would you do that to me, my family? She said, because I want Ellen in my family. She's your first child, so that meant they must have been gay together, them two women. See, I didn't understand the time. Now with everything's going on, I understand them. See, she accidentally had this boy, or had this man, this Benny, by another man. And I think he was a white man. And she wanted him to marry her girlfriend's daughter. That's the way I figured it out. And she says she won't live to marry anyone else if you don't make her. But Ellen didn't love the man. She didn't care nothing about that damn guy. So anyhow, it figured out. They carried on. She would come over the other day or some, and they would eat and talk and cry, eat and talk. So I told Ellen. So Ellen goes to her mother. She says, "Why do I have to marry Benny?" I don't know what the answer her mother gave her, but she wound up marrying Benny.
Mabel, talk about the first time she kissed you.
Hmm?
Talk about the first time she kissed you. You said she kissed you first.
She was
the first woman who kissed you.
She kissed me about 3 years later.
When you were how old?
I can't exactly remember.
12 or 13?
I was older than that. I must have been about 13 or 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt funny when she kissed me.
Oh,
I didn't know. I felt funny.
Good, funny, or bad?
I don't bad or good. I know it was a funny feeling. And I held on to her so tight. She says, "I believe you're older than you say you are." We were in the bed. So I laughed. She says, "You'll never tell me." She says, "But I'll find it out." So, from then on, she took me on her wings. I don't care where I went, she had to know where I went. And my mother asked her why she was so interested in me. And she said, "I just don't want to get in any trouble with any of the boys." Grandma said, "She ain't going to get no trouble." So, I called her Grandma, but her name was Ellen White.
How long did you live with them?
I stayed with them 4 or 5 years.
And going to school the whole time?
I was going to school right from their house.
And did you work too? You worked for them?
No, I didn't work with nobody. I'd come home and do my chores home and, you know what I mean, and help with the house and all like that. And every time Papa was trying to put his hand under my dress, I'd beat it next night and tell Ellen when she was holding me in her arms. Yeah, that's how mm-hmm. she knew. Then she would take me each day because he knew that I told her. And she would get mad at him. He wouldn't speak to her father. And and she would take me up to her girlfriend's house to stay a couple of days till Papa cooled down. The mama turned around. That's why I don't care too much for some people. Mama says, "These old fresh children coming around, they're always, in those days, the blame, they don't care how young a child was or how old it was. If the child told them the man was doing something, they'll put it on the child."
They still do.
I guess you're right. Why is that?
Why do you think?
Well, I don't know.
I think to protect...
Protect what? Well, what the hell are they going to
protect
the family?
Right, to protect the father. They don't want to believe that someone could do that.
Well, she and Pop, he'd get mad and hit at me, and I run up down the street to the other girl's house and stay there till Ellen come from work.
So you love Mrs. White? Did you love Mrs. White?
I loved them all. I didn't pay him any attention because I had Ellen to protect me, see. And that went on. Oh, that went on for quite a while. Well, I went to school. And still, Miss White used to say that she'd look at me, she said, "I can't understand how your aunt left you. Are you sure what you told me was so?" "Yes, ma'am."
"And you never told anybody about Winston-Salem or your grandmother or the house with the flowers?"
"Nothing. It was not until 14 years later that they found it out. They've been finding it out there."
"Hmm."
"Well, I told them. See. And my mama says, I knew something was wrong. She says, but I'll give it to you. You're a good girl. Because I couldn't have stood up under it like that. Knowing what happened. I'd have went to the cop. I didn't want to go to the cop because first thing, they would tell the cop that I was fresh and ran away or something like that. They wouldn't believe that a man could do something to a young child. You understand? In those days, the parents and the grown-up people had it all planned out. It didn't happen. It happened like he said, not like she said. See, that's what's wrong with the world today.
So you stayed with him?
So I stayed with him, though. For 5 years. I don't know, I was quite an old child when I left them.
17, 18, you said?
18 years old. I went to